This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, March 31st, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll speculate on what Abraham Lincoln sounded like. And we'll have a look at your rainy, wet AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A Champaign man has died after being struck by an Amtrak train last night near the Illinois Terminal building. 50-year-old John Wagner was reportedly lying on the tracks when he was hit by the northbound train around 7 last night. Amtrak passengers were kept on the train for about an hour while Champaign police and the FBI investigated and were allowed to enter the terminal around 8. The Champaign County Coroner's Office plans to conduct an autopsy. All of Illinois' school districts are closer to becoming defendants in a lawsuit challenging the state's required moment of silence law. Late last week, a federal judge ruled the case against a school district in the Chicago suburbs could be expanded. Mike Ree has more.
U.S. District Judge Robert Gettleman told lawyers on both sides they should start preparing a notice for all of the more than 800 public school districts in the state. The notice would inform the districts they could become defendants in the lawsuit. Gettleman said a lot of them won't care, some of them will care a lot. The lawsuit stems from one student at Buffalo Grove High School. She filed the suit in opposition to a new state law requiring a moment of silence every school day. The judge has ordered the moment of silence be suspended at that school while the case moves forward. But if all the state school districts are included, the judge could apply the injunction statewide. The districts will have a chance to respond before he makes that decision. I'm Mike Reed.
After a one-week hiatus, the trial of political fundraiser Tony Resco is scheduled to resume today in federal court. Robert Wildebor has more.
Prosecutors will continue questioning Stuart Levine, the main witness in their case against Resco. Levine's been on the stand for days, and his testimony is expected to last most of this week and possibly into next. He's been detailing how he used his power in state government to get million-dollar bribes for himself and Resco. But defense lawyers say there's not much evidence tying Resco to Levine in all his admitted misdeeds. When prosecutors finish questioning Levine, defense attorneys will get their chance, and they're sure to go into Levine's long history of drug abuse to convince jurors that they shouldn't trust his testimony. I'm Robert Wildebor.
Shoppers are hitting the stores today in advance of tomorrow's increase in the Indiana sales tax from 6% to 7%. Governor Mitch Daniels and leading lawmakers sold the sales tax increase in the General Assembly as part of a property tax relief and restructuring plan that's projected to cut homeowners' bills by about 30% on average statewide. The increase will bring an estimated $620 million through the end of this year and close to $1 billion a year after that. Retired Indiana University economist Morton Marcus says the increase might change the spending habits of a small minority of people, but he doubts it will have much impact on decisions to buy even big-ticket items. Blue wooden outlines of children are confronting drivers and pedestrians around the Champaign-Urbana area. The unmarked silhouettes will be out all month as child advocates try to get people thinking about their responsibility when it comes to reporting abuse. Mike Williams directs the Champaign County Children's Advocacy Center. While installing some of those blue figures over the weekend, he explains that people often feel intimidated when they come across evidence that they suspect is child abuse. He says people don't have to prove that the abuse is happening.
Go ahead and make that report and let the people who are trained, let the people who are professionals and people who deal with this on a day-to-day basis, let those people look into it. And if it turns out that the child is not being abused, then that's something that we all celebrate. But if the child is being abused, we need to make sure that that child is in a safe place.
Williams says the child advocacy movement would rather err on the side of the abused child. Last year, about 1,800 children in Champaign County were reported as abused or neglected. Barack Obama has had a lot of political allies over the years, but few have been seen as important as Illinois Senate President Emil Jones. Obama has been even referred to Jones as his political godfather. Jones gave early support to Obama's long-shot bid for the U.S. Senate in 2004, helping give Obama credibility with donors and political groups. Jones also picked Obama to handle some high-profile legislation, including bills requiring police to record interrogators in murder cases and ordering the study of racial profiling in traffic stops. But Jones and Obama have very different political styles. Jones is an old-fashioned Chicago politician with relatives on the state payroll. He steers state grants to favored organizations and uses his clout to punish enemies and bury GOP legislation. Former President Bill Clinton will campaign for his wife at rallies in four Indiana cities Wednesday. The campaign for Senator Hillary Clinton says the former president will attend Solutions for America events in Columbus, Seymour, Bedford, and Bloomington. Details of the trip Wednesday have not yet been announced. An Illinois lawmaker has an idea for funding rape crisis centers. He wants to levy a special tax on strip clubs. Sean Crawford has that story.
Anyone who visits an adult entertainment facility would pay a special admission tax under the legislation. The proceeds would help advocates for rape victims pay for a 24-hour hotline, counseling, and other services. Dave Kaler, a Democratic senator from Peoria, is sponsoring the plan. Along with being a lawmaker, Kaler is also an ordained minister. He says the idea to tax strip clubs came from those who say the establishments objectify women.
That's going to be somewhat controversial, and the industry itself has some concerns about it, but that's something that we're going to continue to have open discussions about.
The measure could come up for a vote this spring. Rape crisis centers are expecting less federal funding in the coming year. Kaler says his proposal is modeled after legislation in Florida and Texas. I'm Sean Crawford.
Reverend Mark Estrop is one preacher who can't help but get revved up about springtime motorcycle weather. That's why the 56-year-old Baptist minister from Rochester offered blessings to two dozen motorcycles and their drivers in Springfield this weekend. A motorcyclist for 40 years, Estrop says he also blesses his own bike. He figures riders know how dangerous the hobby is and want whatever edge they can get. During yesterday's ceremony at Hall's Harley-Davidson, Estrop read a traveler's prayer from Psalm 121. Motorcyclist Bernie Kruger says he returns each year for a blessing to get a little extra help from the good old dude upstairs. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Abraham Lincoln's words have resonated for generations, but it's how Lincoln sounded that has escaped researchers. Some believe they have it figured out. Jenna Dooley has more on the quest to give Lincoln a voice.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
That's Royal Dano, a popular movie and television actor of the last century. Walt Disney himself tapped Dano to be the voice of Lincoln in a recording done for the 1964 World's Fair. To many, Dano's voice symbolized the deep, resonating sound people associate with the 16th president. But some experts say that impression is wrong. Tom Schwartz is a state historian at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum in Springfield, Illinois. He says Lincoln's voice was more like a trumpet blast than the robust portrayals given by Dano, Gregory Peck, and even James Earl Jones.
While those are wonderfully rich voices, they don't comport with contemporary descriptions of Lincoln's voice.
Schwartz says Lincoln had a bit of a southern twang from his youth in northern Kentucky and southern Indiana. Many accounts from letters, diaries, and newspapers describe Lincoln's voice as high-pitched, tenor, and almost shrill. But Schwartz says Lincoln's voice was a professional asset rather than a drawback, especially when debating against his rivals.
His voice also served him well in addressing outdoor assemblies. Low voices do not do well in open spaces because they're dependent on very solid surfaces to provide that echo chamber and to enhance that resonance. That's kind of like a woofer. High voices are able to cut through without that.
Even with more insight into what Lincoln sounded like, modern-day Lincoln impersonators have continued to stay close to the typical public perception. Fritz Klein makes his living filling the shoes of Honest Abe, portraying him at events, even dressing the part. Klein says he's read the research on Lincoln's voice, but still adds his own flair. Here's his take on Lincoln's famous House Divided speech.
We are now into the fifth year since a policy was initiated with the avowed object and confident purpose of putting an end to slavery agitation.
Klein says although he knows Lincoln had a higher voice, he compromises when performing.
Part of the challenge with Lincoln is I mean, you want your overall effect at the end to be maximized, and that means that there's got to be credibility. If you want your message to get through, people can't be preoccupied with his eyes aren't right, his hair's not right, his voice is too distracting, or, you know, they're not going to listen. And so you've got to tone down authenticity if it's not going to match public expectation.
Here's Klein doing what some scholars believe Lincoln really sounded like.
We are now into the fifth year since a policy was initiated with the avowed object and confident purpose of putting an end to the slavery agitation.
And that's why I don't use it, because they wouldn't have heard what I said. They would be thinking, is that the way Lincoln sounded? And I, you know, I'm there to communicate as well as to portray.
Klein says Lincoln was known more for what he said than how he said it, and his shortcomings only add to his larger-than-life legacy. Lincoln historian Tom Schwartz says not knowing exactly what Lincoln sounded like gives him the drive to learn more.
The thing that keeps people intrigued with Lincoln, but also with history generally, is the fact that it is not complete. It is missing something. And it is that quest to figure out what that missing something is that makes it of interest and grabs the public's curiosity.
The Lincoln Bicentennial Commission is hoping to find someone who can play the part in a series of recordings to air on Illinois radio stations. They're holding a contest, which is open to the public, but an organizer for the contest says points won't be given for accuracy, so it's likely most participants will go with the tried and true baritone impression.
Shall have a new birth of freedom.
I'm Jenna Dooley.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
In our forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 65 degrees today. Baseball openers in St. Louis and Chicago could be threatened by the weather as well. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, the low in the mid-40s. The chance of precipitation near 100%, gusty as well with winds up to 35 miles per hour. Partly sunny tomorrow, the high around 48. Mostly clear skies tomorrow evening, the low around 28. Mostly sunny Wednesday, the high around 52. Mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, a chance of rain showers, the low around 35. Cloudy skies Thursday and Thursday evening, the high around 52 degrees, the low around 42. Mostly cloudy on Friday, the high around 58 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.